And here we are. We are into June. This is June 2nd. I still got, why did I put August up there? Anyway, this is June 2nd, I think. And we are going through this list of mysteries and issues of life, explored, examined, expounded, exhorted, explained with exceeding simplicity and great plainness of speech by exalting the excellent and faithful word of truth. And we talked about last week, we talked about what keeps people from seeing these obvious things. You know, as I listen to people talk and the things they're voting on and their opinions, there is not an ounce of truth anymore in people's conversations. They're trying to talk about whether or not same-sex marriage should have insurance or not. Well, that's not the question. The question is, why does everybody think that that's even just okay? Nobody says, well, this is how the design is. This is the way God designed it. Nobody says, well, I'm sure there's the religious world out there, some of them say that. Nobody says, you know, anyway. The Bible aspect of life is just not there. If I were to make some comments today even with family here, and I know it wouldn't be accepted, I have to say, yeah, but that's what the Bible says. Then when they see that it's the King James Bible, they're not interested. See, people have rejected the Word of God and have rejected the words of God. I said this before, but it took me a while to realize there's a difference, the true meaning of the Word of God and the words of God. The concept of these being the very words of God took me a while to grasp. And people today don't have the grasp on that, and they don't even have the grasp that this Bible is the Word of God. And so, obviously, we're dealing with reprobated minds, Romans chapter 1, and God's taken away, that's why they're thinking the way they are. But what we're looking at is some scriptural reasons why people, even Christians, why they would have their understanding be darkened. Why would they not understand in our day-to-day life why things happen the way they do? And I do have now on the website, I haven't changed the main page yet, but I do now have on the website, on the emails, or the sermon titles, the list of questions that I've come up with. And you're more than welcome to come up with more questions. Email them to me. Like when Julie asked, it says, you know, what do you mean by the walk? Why do people... What do they reject about the walk? Well, I was thinking about maybe we need to talk about this phrase, the walk, because that's a lot of interesting thoughts in there. But so we talked about last week, the love of money is one of the things that blocks our understanding and blocks our desire to survive flattery, which leads us to pride and conceit. We talked about people don't understand that we're actually preparing for the tribulation because the tribulation is going to be talking about peace and safety, and they're talking about that already. And the fact that this apostasy or falling away is going so slowly, we don't even recognize it. So one of the questions some people ask is, do you really think it's that bad out there? I mean, come on, it can't be that bad. Our economy's doing better, you know. And Obama says he's a Christian, you know, and all that stuff. How do they miss this stuff? Well, let's go to another one. Let's do about three or four more here this morning. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here's something else that causes people, us as well, to miss out on what's going on. To not have an understanding. To lose faith in our Bible. To start going back to the world because we don't know what else to do. We can't explain it, da-da-da-da, so... We just let that happen. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Okay, so if you allow this thing, you will be deceived. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Okay, so this corruption that takes place in us is obviously going to affect us. So if we're dealing with evil communication, and communication is taking one and passing it on to another. So we are receiving ourselves a constant bombardment of evil communication. We've got it through TV. We've got it through commercials. We've got it through even newscasts. They're changing because they toss in their opinion, and, you know. You've got the videos that we watch. You've got the music that we listen to. And the music has not only does it have the evil words to it, but the music itself deals with us in an evil manner. You've got pastors who are teaching the wrong things. You've got parents who are teaching the wrong things. You've got school teachers. We are in a constant bombardment today of evil communication. And for those of us that still get into our tempers and our temper tantrums, and we still cuss out some words once in a while because we're so frustrated or so hurt by something when it drops on your toes or whatever, let's see where we are to stand as a Bible-believing Christian, you know, part of this walk. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we talk about people who don't understand it all the time. And yet, here's something that we should consider when we're talking about evil communication. Let's look at this, Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, how do we stand? You hit your little ding bell one time for good, two times for not so hot, three times not doing very well at all, and four times if you blow it, ding, 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 ding. Or ding, or ding, ding, or ding, ding, ding. Where do you stand on that thing? Maybe this evil communication that we go through and we listen to and we spew out ourselves has something to do with the fact that our manners, manner of life, not just please and thank you, but our manner of life there, is changing. Something's getting us to change. And I'll get to that in a second. Let's look at Colossians. Colossians 3:8. See now, put ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. So, have we done so? If not, it could be contributing to our falling away, to our corruption of our good manners. We understand what Paul teaches us about the manner of life. And we understand that we're being fed a bunch of evil communication. But we also have to remember that if we hang around this language, we hang around that kind of temper, we hang around this kind of communication from other people as well, this whole thing slowly falls apart. And it does. Now, the thing that ties into this evil communication, corrupt good manners, is in Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. Page flipping. Galatians chapter 5, verse 9. I'm coming. Verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So let's remind ourselves that we're not going to recognize this sudden change in our manner of life, this sudden corruption that takes place in our lives, unless, of course, you've got somebody there to remind you. And it's always easier for people to remind others of their falling away. But this, we have to remind ourselves of what we spiel. We're still putting ourselves in that realm of evil communication, and we may not even realize what's happening. And here's to me a case, an excellent case, and that's older people who believe that gay rights is fine, gayness is fine, same sex marriage, whatever, guys with the earrings and the whole spiel. The culture changes that we've taken place in America today. When you see an older person, you know, with the ponytail, gray hair, or the no hair and ponytail, or they got no hair in the middle, so they curl it on the sides, and they got the earrings, two and three, four different earrings, and this kind of, and these are, and some of these are very respectable people, and yet 10 years ago they would have said that'll never happen to me. So this leavening of this lump, we don't even know what's happening, and if we're going to be letting this evil communication deal with it, you've got news media, you've got magazines, you've got signs on the billboard, signs in the post office, you've got, whatever I thought of that, signs in the schools, you've got flyers and magazines coming to your house, you've got this. I mean, there's always something being communicated. In fact, like 1 Corinthians 14 talks about there are many voices in this world. And yeah, these voices we're hearing, whether they be written words, spoken words. Well, I've proven many times over that there's pictures in these magazines that if they're not a snapped picture, but they're a touched up or a drawn picture, then you've got dirty pictures inside those regular pictures of food or macaroni and cheese or whatever. And I talk to people about that even up here, and they, yeah, I've heard about that. Boy, you would think that people would not want to have their kids look at these pictures, because they never let them look at the dirty magazines, but they let them go through these magazines, and there's stuff in those magazines that these kids are being fed. Evil communication is corrupting that kid. So whether it be out of our mouth or our thoughts or the area we're around or the arguments we have or the just the circles that we're around, we have to remember that it's going to take a long time, but it's going to happen. It's a falling away. It's a corrupting that takes place. Now, again, with Paul, we're fine. Our souls are fine. Nothing's going to take place there. But in our day-to-day life, because we're talking about day-to-day realities here. Somebody said something. Let's pop and see what it is. Oh, it's just security. See, I still get distracted. I must leave it up there. So, what's the solution to this evil communication that we constantly put ears in our eyes? What's the solution to this slow process of lump being leavened? Well, this is where we don't make the right choices. This is where we make it tough. And let's remind ourselves that God tells us how to deal with this stuff. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. So, what we find ourselves in a situation is it's not anything unique, it's not special, you know. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So this temptation that we have every day, coming from this evil communication, people we hang around, the parties that we attend, the friends that other people's friends have, we find us, look at the restaurants we go into, look at the places we all go. I mean, evil communication is in the aisles of the stores, it's in the checkout lanes, it's in the kids' magazines. If you can see the books of what they're being taught in the school books, there's evil communication coming out of there. Facebook, the iBook, the iTunes, all that stuff. Social media, they call it. But no, the real phrase for that should be evil communications. Should be. Okay, so then what you're saying is that we shouldn't watch TV, shouldn't watch videos, shouldn't read any magazines, shouldn't read any books, shouldn't go to stores, shouldn't take a... Well, that's about where it's at. That's about where it's at. You really going to recommend that? No, not really. What are you going to do? You got to read stuff. You got to see. You're going to see things. You're going to go into the stores. You're going to be tempted. But God does still give us a way out of this. Out of this, He still gives us a way to escape, and that is, here goes, to avoid. To withdraw from, to have no company with. It's that simple. Remember, Paul's words are plainness of speech, the simplicity that is in Christ. It's very simple. If you don't care about, you know, coming out of your fleshly life down here with some rewards in the judgment seat of Christ, go have at it. Go have a party. Go do the drinking. Go out there and have a great time. but it's all going to burn in the judgment seat of Christ. Well, I'm so young or I'm middle-aged or whatever that it's not going to be a problem now. Well, no, but when you get up there, it's going to be weigh on your mind. So what does he say? Well, let's look at Romans 16:17. Romans 16:17. You've seen these before. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions, people that cause divisions and offenses. Now, the difference here is the thing we've got to watch for, otherwise you won't even hang around people, is these people have to be those that cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine that Paul has taught to you. So, the world is better at letting you be who you want to be, dress the way you want to dress, somewhat, as compared to Christians. But God says, these people that you're going to be around are going to try to cause you division. Are going to try to be offensive. They're going to try to challenge you for what you believe. Okay, stand up and fight for what you believe. Not a problem. But they'll wear you down. You won't wear them down. They're going to wear you down. So how does God provide an escape? He says, well, hey, just not go there in the first place. Now, here's what we have to ask ourselves. Are we truly a Bible believer? You know, that's a standard question. Do we really believe we trust in Christ for our soul? Why cannot we trust our flesh with him? Because he will still, through Paul, not through the Gospels, not through Jesus' teaching to the Jews, but through Paul, he will teach us the things that we ought to do and ought not to do. But we also know that in Romans chapter 11, where he says, verse 22, there, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be also cut off. We have to realize and tell ourselves, listen, as we get closer and closer to where the Gentiles will be cut off, it's going to get lonelier and lonelier, harder and harder, because you're just about going to have to mark everybody. That's pretty tough. Pretty tough. He says in, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, which comes right after 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse, where am I at here? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Well, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, which we know is anything that's not rightly divided is profane and vain babblings. And it says here, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. So this evolution stuff, this so-called science, this stuff that's not rightly divided from a King James Bible, that stuff can cause us to err from the faith. It just does. It's got that kind of power to it. So then you got to ask yourself, time for your invitation. How many of you have been around evil communication? How many of you don't realize it's happening until somebody tells you? Then you get mad at them. And now we're seeing that I should avoid this stuff. Yeah, but I can't avoid this stuff. Well, if you can avoid this stuff, then do what you got to do. But just make sure you bring an eraser with you. Why do you want an eraser? So you can erase the line you've drawn for yourself and you can write a new one. Because you're not avoiding who you should avoid. Well, look at where you teach. I know I teach there. You have no idea how much I try to avoid within the system so I can still do what I need to do and still talk to the principal about this stuff and try to be a good testimony to kids and try to keep them from saying just God in a very loose manner. You know, God, this is good, or oh, this. You know, making those little things. And Paul reminds us, hey, if you're going to get a job, you got a killing pure job, you got to leave the earth kind of a thing. Well, that's my job as a man, is to be out there and deal with stuff and to fight the war that's in there. It's a man's job. So, 2 Timothy 2:23, look at that one. 2 Timothy 2:23. Foolish and unlearned questions, avoid. Why do you want? What's the point? Do you want to get into some conversation with those guys? Possibly. But here it does say, knowing that they gender strifes. They do gender strifes. You know that if you're going to bring something up, it's going to cause a strife. It's going to cause an issue. So now you got to realize, you got to think to yourself, do you or don't you? Now, later, whatever. I've learned enough that if you talk to somebody in a group, it's not going to happen. And if I was thinking here, I could show that spot where Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. I have no idea where it's at. And one of the Pharisees or Sadducees, one of them comes up after him and asks him a question, you know. So there's you're better off with people one-on-one. You're always in a hurry. Everybody's always in a hurry. But my point is that if we want to stay away from this evil communication, what it's doing to us, slowly but surely, you avoid. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I can't read my notes again, so this probably isn't right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I think that says verse 6. Yep, and now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother, okay, this is talking Christians now, that walketh disorderly, not after the tradition which you received of us. So those that don't want to follow Paul, we really are supposed to withdraw ourselves from them. Verse 14. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. And yet we are the ones that when we don't go someplace, we don't participate, we don't put on those kind of clothes, or we don't do this, or we don't drink this, we're the ones that feel bad and awkward. We're the ones with the messed up life. No, I'm sorry, but you are. And they're supposed to be ashamed, verse 14. Not us, but them. So, yeah, we're supposed to withdraw. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Ooh, this is a tough one. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Well, this is one of the reasons we're not going to church anywhere. The music was evil, is evil communicated to people. The pastors are not telling the truth. Okay, mark them and avoid them. Withdraw. And we're following up with how God has provided the ways for us to escape this temptation. Well, just don't go there. And again, TV shows and books that we read and all this stuff is slowly going to change our minds to where in 10, 15 years, we now got gray-haired people wearing earrings and thinking gay marriages and everything is fine. All the other things that have changed over time. Time does us in. Makes me think of something here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times... You know, latter times, it's not talking about last days. It's talking about as you've been in something for quite a while, those are the latter times. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. This is what's happening. This is why people don't understand or have the answers when we talk about these issues of life, these mysterious issues of day-to-day life. No, they're actually quite easily explained. We just have to remember, that will be done for this morning. Just have to remember Romans 7. That's Paul's, one of my favorite chapters of his, not because it's really cool or anything, but it just has a lot to say. When he says in verse 25, so with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And yet we realize our flesh is cut away, so it's all going to burn, but we're not. Put all that through your mind there. But we want to do the right thing, but our flesh says no. And according to Romans chapter 6, we still have to decide. So, there's another reason. They all kind of tie into one. Evil withdraw from such have no company. Why don't we heed those things? people that just don't believe. I mean, they're pretty bad. They say, no, that Bible's not the Word of God. There's no such thing as the Word of God. Well, there used to be, and there still is. But to talk to people about it today, it's not going to happen. Why? Because they spend all their visual time and all their earing times, hearing, to evil communication. And little by little, the lump is being leveled. Little by little, we will be changed. Little by little, our understanding is going to be darkened. Little by little. And before you know it, we're not going to want to do the right thing at all. We're not going to care about it. We're not going to give a hoot about it at all. Which is exactly what it says in Ephesians 4. This is the conclusion to all the points we're going to make here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And he says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, in other words, we don't care anymore. Are we getting past feeling? Have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that's the flesh, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not learned so from Christ. You see, we learned this from other books, other videos, other movies, other commercials, other people, other parties, other shopping. You know, you go into a store, you're not going to want to buy anything, and you come out with stuff. Why is that? Well, because they easily communicated to you that you needed that. And then when you get home, you look at that and you think, you know, I didn't really need that. Then you got to go through the process of taking it back. Why didn't you like it? Well, I just didn't want it. Well, then why did you buy it? I make a great one at the return station. Why do you want to get this back? Well, it didn't work. Well, you see, kind of a dumb-looking thing. Why did you buy that? Well, you expect it to work. It's a piece of junk. Anyway, evil communications is corrupting us all. Just be glad that the Lord's got a hold of our soul. But just to think about people that care for you and they see that you stumble. And we know that that's true. Just think then what God must think. It's what He provided. And yet all He says is, hey, it's just a reasonable service for you to, you know, live the way Paul would have you live. It's nothing huge. Nothing terribly difficult. But you will be punished if you do it. You will suffer persecution. That's still the thing that stops us all from doing the right thing sometimes is, I don't want to take the hassle. I don't want to take the heat. I don't want people laughing at me. Part of the persecution is self-inflicted. Do you ever think about that? We're the ones who feel guilty. We wanted to go to that thing, but now I got to stay home. And we all go through it. So what do we do? Sometimes we just go. Then when you're there, you don't have any fun anyway. You shouldn't have any fun anyway, and you don't participate. Although a lot of things go on today where they catch the Christian off guard, so you have to participate. I dread any of our school meetings at the beginning of the year because sometimes they have these get acquainted, you got to get to know each other thing, and to play these psychological games and you're a partner with somebody or something. I despise doing that stuff. I just hate it. And so far we haven't had to do it here, but companies and businesses all the time, they want the staff to work together. So we have to be like family. Well, you know what family's like? Families. So they want you to work with all these other strange guys and girls and ladies and men. It's a mess out there.